This is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Maundy-Thursday worship. If you have an order, we will follow that order, with the exception of Holy Communion, obviously. The call to worship. Jesus said, "I did not come to invite virtuous people, but sinners." Merciful God, we do not dare to come to your table, trusting in our own goodness and virtue. We come because we are sinful people. We need forgiveness. We come because we are hungry for life and need to be fed. Father, forgive us and feed us. We come because Christ has invited us sinners. We come in gratitude and wonder to offer our very selves to him in worship and adoration. Father, accept our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The responsive reading of the Passover account. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Egypt. "This month is to be the first month of the year for you. Give these instructions to the whole community of Israel. On the 10th day of this month, each man must choose either a lamb or a young goat for his household. If his family is too small to eat a whole animal, and he and his next door neighbor may share an animal in proportion to the number of people and the amount that each person can eat. You may choose a sheep or a goat, but it must be a one-year-old male without any defects. Then on the evening of the 14th day of the month, the whole community of Israel will kill the animals. The people are to take some of the blood and put it on their doorposts and above the doors of the houses in which the animals are to be eaten. That night, the meat is to be roasted and eaten with bitter herbs, with bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled, but eat it roasted whole, including the head, the legs, and the internal organs. You must not leave any of it until morning. If any is left over, it must be burned. You are to eat it quickly, for you are to be dressed for travel, with your sandals on your feet and your walking stick in your hand. This is the Passover festival to honor me, the Lord. On that night I will go through the land of Egypt, killing every firstborn male, both human and animal, and punishing all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood on the doorpost will be a sign to mark the houses in which you live, and when I see the blood I will pass over you and will not harm you when I punish the Egyptians. You must celebrate this day as a religious festival to remind you of what I, the Lord, have done. Celebrate it for all time to come." The first scripture lesson, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A reading from St. Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 to 20, which is the basis for my sermon. "And when the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said unto them, With desire I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup and gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And then he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So far. There are two things that make a family meal enjoyable. Good food, good conversation. Both make the meal something to look forward to and something to enjoy. The disciples certainly had good food and good conversation at the meal called the Passover on that first Maundy Thursday. At that time, however, they were perplexed by the things Jesus was saying and didn't fully understand the significance of the food that they were eating. As we look back on the last Passover meal, we can understand very clearly the things that Jesus was saying because we know how the events of this night concluded. We can appreciate the significance of that food because through that same meal, which we receive so often during our lives, we believe in the real presence, the true body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. This evening, we marvel at the love of Jesus the night before he died, as we reflect back upon his giving, his body and blood. The eating of the Passover meal was to remember the love and the power of their Lord. God had freed their ancestors from slavery back in the land of Egypt. The Lord sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn Egyptians, but to pass over all the homes of the Israelites, which had the blood of the unblemished lamb painted on their doorposts. And every year since that time, God wanted the Israelites to have a meal to commemorate that event and to talk about what it meant. They were to have a meal of roast lamb, which reminded them of all the lambs that were linked to the Passover, and of unleavened bread, which reminded them of the bread the Lord had told them to prepare quickly so that they would be able to leave Egypt at a moment's notice, and also of bitter herbs, which reminded them of the suffering they had endured as slaves in Egypt. And as the disciples and Jesus enjoyed the food and the retelling of God's plan of salvation at this meal, they would at times sip on wine, which would lead into prayers of thanksgiving for all that God had done for them. These things were happening at this meal that Jesus was eating with his disciples. The key difference was that this supper was the last supper because Jesus was about to fulfill everything that the Passover meal signified. Jesus was the Lamb who would shed his blood, so that eternal death would pass over all who had it sprinkled on their hearts, so that the believers of all ages would have the same assurance of the forgiveness of sins. It was then that Jesus instituted his New Testament supper. He took some of the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. It's no wonder that we want to eat this meal often. We want to receive again and again that which Jesus gave his disciples while eating with them on that first Maundy Thursday. When we come forward to this communion table, know that we will also be eating with Jesus. In, with, and under the bread and the wine, we receive our Savior's body and blood, just like the disciples also received that very night. And because Jesus gave us his actual body and blood, which he gave and poured out for us on the cross, for the forgiveness of sins, we have this promise that our sins are forgiven. This is Christ's body and blood of the New Testament. God's Old Testament was sealed with the sacrifices of lambs, which pointed ahead to the coming of the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God. God's New Testament was sealed with the sacrifice of the one who in just a few hours would be dying on that cross. And that is why St. Paul said, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And when we leave Holy Communion, we do so with grateful praise, looking forward to the time when Jesus will come again to take us to the heavenly banquet, which will have no end. But Jesus did more. He didn't just say, this is his body and blood given and poured out for us. He actually went ahead and gave his body and blood into death. In just a little while, in a little olive garden outside of the city of Jerusalem, Jesus would begin fulfillment for which he came. In the garden would come the betrayer, which Jesus had told Judas to do quickly. In the garden would come his forsaking by all of his disciples, just as he said would happen. In the garden, Jesus would be overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus was about to go to his death, a death that he knew was necessary, but a death that he would have been pleased to avoid had it not been his Father's will for him to do that. But it wasn't the Father's will for Jesus to avoid death. It was his Father's will to defeat death by meeting death head on. A death in which Jesus would give his body, pour out his blood for the forgiveness of sins. This evening, we come forward to eat and to drink in Christ's supper, the very body and blood he gave and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We come forward with both seriousness and joy. We are serious because we know, as we have been reminded these past 6 weeks, of the great suffering Jesus endured as he left that upper room to meet Judas and the mob that followed him. We are serious because we have been reminded that we by nature are the betrayers, the deniers, the mockers. We are serious because we know that there is no way that we deserve to come to Holy Communion, but that we are invited to come, invited by Christ himself. We are invited to come because of the love of Jesus when he gave his body and shed his blood. But we also come with great joy. We can't understand the grace of God in inviting us any more than we can understand that the bread and the wine are at the same time Christ's body and blood. We simply hear and believe the words of Christ. Take, eat. Take, drink. This is my body, this is my blood. Therefore, as we come to the Lord's Supper this evening, come seriously, but come joyfully, knowing that what Jesus said and did for his disciples, he is doing for us this very evening. We know the love of Jesus who gave his body and shed his blood for all people, and who allows each of us personally to receive his very body and blood with the simple bread and the wine in his supper. And that, my dear friends, is love. Amen. We now have the Litany of Kindness. On that first Monday, Thursday evening, when you were so weighed down with the events that were destined from eternity to occur, you still cared for your followers and showed them kindness. Give to us the spirits of fruit and kindness, O Lord. You took the towel and the basin. You stooped down to wash the disciples' feet. Give to us the spirit of fruit of kindness, O Lord. Although death was at hand, you pointed beyond death and showed the mansions in your Father's house. Give to us the spirits of fruit and kindness, O Lord. Although hatred would soon have its way for a time, you pointed to the great command, love one another even as I have loved you. Give to us the spirits of fruit and kindness, O Lord. Although your friends would this night abandon you, flee, you promised them, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Give to us the Spirit's fruit of kindness, O Lord. Although your friends this night would not even stay awake to pray, you prayed the great high priestly prayer for them and for us. Give to us the spirits of fruit of your kindness, O Lord. And then in the deepest kindness of all, you broke the bread, shared the cup. You gave them, you give us, yourself, your true body and blood. Give to us the spirits of fruit and kindness, O Lord. And let us rend our hearts and not our garments, and turn unto the Lord our God. For he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Amen. Let's now have confession and absolution. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee for thy boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Blessed be the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.